Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come into your house this morning that we might bring to you the concerns, the thoughts, the upsets that we have in our life, that we might also bring to you the joys that we have in our life. And Father, we say thank you for both. This morning, as we meditate on your word, we just pray that you would open our mind and allow the word to be applied to our lives. What the speaker is saying is only a suggestion. You are the one that brings us the truth. Father, I pray that I might be able to handle the word with confidence, with authority, and with surety, that only because of you I can. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. One Sunday morning, in a small little southern church, there was a new pastor, and he decided he would call upon one of his elders to say the or to give the opening prayer. The old elder, he stood up and he bowed his head and he said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor kind of opened one eye and wondered where this was going. The deacon continued, "Lord, I hate lard." The pastor was now rather concerned. But the old deacon, he continued on and he said, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour either. But you know, after they're all mixed together and they're baked up properly, I just love the biscuits." The pastor smiled and the old deacon continued, "Lord, help us to realize when our life gets hard, when things come that we really don't like, when we don't understand just what you are doing, that we need to wait and see what you are mixing. After you get through mixing and baking, it'll probably be something even better than biscuits." The old fella knew what he was talking about. Wouldn't it be nice if we could talk to our Lord in that plain and simple language? We don't have to worry about how eloquent we are and how to the point we are and everything else. God listens and he hears what we have to say in plain language. I remember a few years ago when I had the youth group upstairs on Water Street. And we had our meeting every Friday night. When the kids would come, they'd gather and then we'd start our meeting with a prayer. And quite often the kids would lead this prayer and they would, but there was one young lad that I always enjoyed whenever he led the prayer. Because he would stand up, remove his hat, bow his head, and he would say, "Hi Lord, it's the kids at St. Paul's calling. We're getting together again and we'd really like you with us." He had a way of using unique words in all his prayers, mainly because he knew he was talking to a friend. You see, we have a tendency every now and then as we get older, we have a tendency to magnify our words, to make sure that they're right. We act as though we're at a job application rather than a prayer time with our friend. And that's something we have to do. We have to learn to talk to our friend, to take whatever is on our mind and offer it to him gently, greatly, and allow him to sort out what we need. We've had the privilege here of having three or four special prayer meetings on a Saturday morning. They've been well attended. But the thing is, I want everybody to understand that if you come to one of those prayer meetings, you don't have to stand in front of everyone to pray. We want you to come. We want you to enjoy the morning, but we want you to share what you need to share with God in the way that you can share it. It's not a matter of having to stand up. It's just a matter of knowing how and knowing what you want to say. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, kind of emphasizes this because he says, call to me and I will answer. I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. God says, call to me. Or even clearer, he says, talk to me as you would a friend. In these verses, Jeremiah is commanded to call upon God. God's not happy with the way the situation is. And the whole area that they're in, that Jeremiah is in, has turned to chaos. And they've turned their back so far away from God that he basically doesn't even exist in their world. And he tells Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's in prison. And why? Because he is there because he was speaking out against sin and immorality. Certainly he'd be put in prison because nobody wanted to hear that. The past glory of Israel was a distant memory, and everything they had seemed to be lost. But the wonderful thing it is, and amidst all this disaster, God reaches out and touches the hand of Jeremiah, and he said, I don't like what's going on. I don't like this situation at all. And I'm going to destroy so much of it. But then, I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to answer the prayers that so many people have put, that I am able to open the doors and allow people back in to my favor. That's the God we serve. He answers the prayers that we offer. In the fall of 2002, there were two snipers that were terrorizing the Washington area. Before they were finally apprehended, there was 10 people killed and 3 wounded. What was never advertised was that there was a great amount of prayer went up to our Father for the resolve of this situation. There were 50 Christian truckers, and they got together once a week in a parking lot, and they had a prayer meeting. And they all made an effort to be there so that they could share their prayers and talk to their Father. But this one day they were there, and they prayed for an answer of how we're going to apprehend these two snipers. Ron Lutz was one of those truckers. And as he prayed with the group, he just got an inner feeling that God was speaking to him. And that in one way or another, God was going to use him to catch the bad guys. So the next week, he was traveling along and he was going through the area. And as he was traveling, he got a feeling that he needed to pull in to this certain truck stop. He wasn't sure why, but he knew he had to. So he pulled in, and as he pulled in, they were talking on the radio and describing the car that these snipers were driving. And when he pulled into the parking lot, there was a car there. And in his own words, it was pretty scary because that was the car they described. And when I looked at the license plate, they matched. So he said, I phoned the 911 very quickly. And for the longest 15 minutes of my life, I had to sit there and wait for the police to come. But they apprehended them. They apprehended the two, and they took them away. And the rest is wonderful news. It was at that point that Ron Lutz and his 50 truckers and however many others realized God answers prayer. You never know how. And you never know who he's going to involve. But he answers his prayer, our prayer. And you see, God's saying the same thing to us today. Maybe we're going through a crisis, a health crisis, and things are just a little unsettled. Maybe life is getting us down and we need a bit of encouragement. Maybe there's an issue arising in our future and we don't know how to handle it. Maybe, well, you take that maybe and you put your story in it. And then what you do, take that story to God and to leave it with him, and he will answer your prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will answer you and tell you unsearchable things you do not know. In this verse, we're given two promises. The first promise, it says, call on me and I will answer you. When we take the time to call upon God, he will answer. And that's a promise. That's not just something that he said to get our attention. It's a promise. And when we do pray, we get a hold of God. Not one of the angels, not somebody answering the phone for him. It's him. It's God. And he knows who we are. The greatest thing about it, he knows who we are. We don't have to identify ourselves. We don't have to say, hey, it's the kids from St. Paul's. We can all say, it's me, Lord. And he will answer us. Regardless of the prayer that we give to God, when he answers us, he knows what we need. And he will bring to us, maybe not what we asked for. It may shock us. It may take us to a point where we're thinking, ooh, I can't do that. But the beauty of the God that we serve is that we can do that. When we have the privilege of reaching out and giving ourselves honestly and sincerely to our Father, we can do that. The promise of Jeremiah 33:3 is, he will tell us unsearchable things that we know nothing about. I think I read that 3 or 4 times over before I understood really what it meant. Because there's so many times we get into a situation and we have no idea how it's going to run out. We have no idea what we're going to do or how we're going to do it. But when we pray honestly and sincerely, God reaches out and he gives us an answer. Quite often we say, whoa, that wasn't the answer we wanted. That wasn't something that I need. And God comes back and says, but it's what I want you to have. The prayers that we have, God answers them in unsearchable, unfathomable, and wonderful judgment. His promise is, call on him, and he will answer. Throughout my life, God has offered and answered many of my prayers by showing me a specific action to do and giving me the ability to do that, leading me to call my walk with God a great adventure. One of those adventure moments was when God gave me the vision to go to Bible school. 3 things popped in my mind right immediately. First of all, I was an absolute horrid student when I was in school. And we won't go any further into that. I was also 35 years old at that time. And job and finances and bills and everything else, and I had no idea how that was going to get paid. The third thing he gave me is I had no idea where this was going to lead me. But I was fortunate enough to trust. So I put my application in as a mature student, and with God's leading, I was enrolled for the following September. My wife at that time had been off on maternity leave, and she had no school to go back to in September. And we needed a second car to get back and forth to Toronto to school. So we prayed. And we prayed for some kind of help. Lord, you know what we need, some kind of help. The 1st of August, the principal of a school just up the road from us called and asked my wife to come up for a visit. As a result, she became a teacher at that school starting the 1st of September. She came home one night and she said that one of her teacher friends had come to her and said, you know, I understand that you people need a car to get back and forth, and I want to help you out. So she gave us the ability to get that car. He will tell us unsearchable things that we know nothing about. God will give us the answer. We in our finite mind have no idea what the answer is to so many of our situations. The first thing we think is, oh, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to do this? I can't do that. I'm just me. I don't know how. The cliche that comes along to my mind is, if God brought you to it, God will bring you through it. And that's a cliche, but it's so true. He has a plan for each one of us here this morning. He has a plan for us as a congregation. He has the resources and the unbelievable ability to take us from where we are to where he wants us to be, if we will honestly and willingly give ourselves up to him. I want to close this message this morning with a true story that echoes the certainty of Jeremiah 33, verse 3. That when we offer the prayer and we ask what we think we need, God will turn it around and give us what he knows we need. In the early days of the 1800s, Reverend George Mueller looked down the streets of Bristol, England, and all he could see was a mass of young children out playing on the street, running around and basically running wild. They were all orphans, no place else to go. Mueller took a look at them and he thought, something has to be done. I'm not sure what, but something has to be done. And he got this feeling in his mind, that said to him, start an orphanage. Mueller was standing there at that point with 2 pence in his pocket. That's about 2 cents, from what I understand. And that's all he had in his pocket. But he looked up at his God and he said, okay, let's go. Let's do it. So he did. 60 years of ministry, he and his wife operated an orphanage. He never solicited funds from anyone, any personal or any business at all. All he did was when a situation came up, he and his wife stopped what they were doing and they prayed about it. And God answered the prayer and kept that orphanage running. During six decades of the ministry, this man kept a record of all his prayers. That record filled 3,000 pages. And he figured that it was 30,000 prayers that were answered. George Mueller and his devoted wife, as I said, they run this orphanage for 60 years. And their prayers answered every need they had, all in mysterious ways. One night there was no food in the orphanage, and they had nothing for breakfast for the children. About 3 o'clock in the morning, a baker phoned them, and he said, "For some reason, I can't sleep. I can't do anything but just think of going down to the bakery and bake." So he said, "If I brought some bread over to you later on this morning, could you use it?" The other said, "Certainly. At this present moment, we have nothing." Short while later, milk wagon was coming down the street, and something happened that had upset. And the driver came into the orphanage and said, "Mr. Mueller, this milk is going to spoil. Do you want some?" And Mueller's prayer again was answered, because there was no milk for the orphanage. Time and time again, 30,000 times in 60 years, God answers to the prayer of George Mueller and provided the needs for that orphanage. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call on me and I will answer you and tell you unsearchable things that you do not know." We here at St. Paul's have rejoiced in the answers of his prayers, of our prayers. We have asked for direction, leadership, strength, and a whole lot more, because we knew nothing about what the future held for us. In the wisdom and the riches of our Lord God, and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, we have had the privilege of having our prayers answered. He strengthened our faith, and he'd opened us up to what we did not know. He showered his blessings of grace upon us in a ways that we will never understand. Amen.